Now upon one morning, when all of the pilgrims gathered for scripture and prayers together, James, being now the priest of his new household, was asked to read from the scriptures. So he read to them from Isaiah 53. Upon finishing, Mr. Honest asked,
"Do tell someone, why doth this scripture speak of the Savior as coming out of a dry ground? And why did it say that he had no form nor comeliness?"
"He came out of a dry ground, in that the church of the Jews, from which he came, had lost almost all the sap and life of true religion."
"Ah, yes. The life was buried underneath the rubbish of tradition. But what of having no comeliness? To me, he hath great beauty."
"Aye, and to me as well."
"These words are spoken of the unbeliever. Since they lack the eye of the spirit to see within his heart, they judge him on the outward appearance, which is like that of an ordinary man."
"Ah."
"It is rather like a man who does not know that precious stones are sometimes covered with a homely crust. He had just as soon throw it at a crow as polish and sell it for a great price."
Now, after more discussion and prayers, they were ready to begin their day's activities.
"Well, Mr. Gaius, what chores have you for us to attend to today? Weeding the garden, building a wall, what?"
"Well, dear Mr. Greatheart, since you are so famous for your skill at war, and since you have these brave men to help, and Christiana's faith to uphold thee, may I suggest a battle?"
"With whom?"
"About a mile from here, there is one Slaygood, a giant."
"A giant, do you say? Well, boys, we know about giants, don't we?"
"Yes, sir."
"Aye."
"This fellow doth much annoy the king's highway in these parts. He's the master of a gang of ruffians and thieves, and we would do our master great service if we could part him from his head."
"Hmm. Well, boys, let's be off. Where is he?"
"Come, I shall lead the way."
"Matthew, Samuel, Joseph, James, to arms, men."
"Hold."
"What?"
"Matthew and James may not go."
"And why not? They are fierce warriors."
"They are newly wed. 'Tis against scripture for them to be put to hard work or go to war for 1 year."
"What?"
"'Tis very truth. They must stay, or we cannot have God's blessing."
"And what are they to do while we risk life and limb?"
Pray for us, I hope. But in any case, the scripture is clear. 1 year at home to make their wives happy."
"Hmm. Well, if God commands, then God will supply their lack. Men, forward."
"Rest assured, friend, Greatheart, that having obeyed, we can surely expect God to do his part."
"He will have to. I have heard fierce things about this Slaygood."
So they went forth, Mr. Greatheart with his sword, helmet, and shield, and the rest with spears and staves. When they were come to his cave, they found him with one feeble mind in his hands. He had been captured on the king's highway and had been brought home to dinner. The giant's dinner, that is. For Slaygood was among those cannibals and gossipers that do enjoy human flesh.
"Well, well, well, here we are. Come, my little chicken, let me feel of thy legs."
"Let me go."
"Pah, skinny as a rail. Don't you pilgrims ever eat? I suppose I'll must make pilgrim soup out of thee." "Well, at least thou mayest have some marrow in thy bones for me to suck out."
"Oh, mercy, dear giant, have mercy."
"Mercy, you say? I would love to have mercy. They say she lodges within a mile of here, and I have hopes that one day I shall catch her for dinner."
"Slaygood!"
"Eh? Who be that?"
"My name is Greatheart."
"Greatheart? Greatheart? Now who is Greatheart?"
"Slaygood!"
"What?"
"Come out of thy den."
"Wait thou here, friend. We shall get thee ready for dinner shortly forthwith. But first I must dispose of an annoyance of some sort. Perhaps he is a fat old fool who will be worth roasting over my fire."
"Hello!"
"Coming. Shall I use me club or me sword? Do I need armor or no? I think a club will do just fine. Yes, just fine. But perhaps I'll take along my dagger to take out his heart and offer it to the sun.
What think ye, Great Heart? Will he come?
Aye. These giants are brave when they think they can win. Here he comes now.
What do you want, knaves?
We want thee.
Who art thou, stout one?
My name is Greatheart.
Greatheart, eh? Well, good. Me loves roasted heart. And if thine be great, so much the better. But before I pick thy bones, why do you come to offer me battle?
Because thou hast dragged many pilgrims off of the king's highway and slain them.
'Tis true, I have. What are you going to do about it?
I am going to lift thy head from off thy shoulders and leave thy body for the fowls of the air.
Why, you little sparrow. I'll show thee whose head will roll.
With that, he seized his club and advanced upon them.
Before we begin, dost thou realize that I offer no mercy in these affairs?
Nor shalt thou receive any. Take that!
What? First blow, even. Why, you...
Can I help, Greatheart?
Hi-ya!
Hey, stay back.
Aye, wait for me, old man. I shall have thee for my breakfast. Ha!
But he has given you a rough time of it. What can I do?
Ha!
Pray. Lift up thy hands in prayer.
I shall.
Pray. Ha, ha, ha. Pray to what?
To God.
Ah, there is no God. Ah, ha, ha!
Honest?
Aye.
Time to put thy words to the test.
Which?
That a true Christian can never be overcome unless he surrenders his will.
'Tis a true saying.
Then come make of it a true doing.
I am here. Aha! Puny old man, barely cometh to my waist. Take that.
Samuel, Joseph, man the spears.
Yes, sir.
Stand back, young ones. My quarrel is with this chicken heart.
His name is Greatheart.
Ha! Ha ha ha! Chicken or great, no difference is seen whilst being ate. Ha!
Now this battle went on for above an hour,
Greatheart.
And then all stood still to take wind.
Why are you here on my ground?
I told thee before, to revenge the blood of pilgrims.
We'll take a greater one than thee and these. Hi-ya!
So they went at it again, and the giant, seeing that his case was desperate, came forth with new strength. Now for a time he made Mr. Greatheart give
back. Look out, Samuel!
But it was ground dearly purchased, for they came down to a flat place where Mr. Honest and the boys could carry the giant from all sides.
Get back of hounds, ye are! Ta!
Aye, and the fox is up a tree. Back! Ha! Goyas!
Sir?
Time to take the kingdom of heaven by violence! If thou catchest my meaning!
With that did Gaius lift up the hand of faith even higher. And in answer, the lord of the highway sent quickness of wit to the pilgrims. Thereupon did Greatheart begin to see a weakness in the giant's defense and begin to test it.
Stop this one, Slaygood!
With ease, chicken heart!
And this one!
Ha!
And again!
Ha!
Great
heart!
And here!
Dost thou turn this into a game?
Aye! And now from the left! Ha!
Fools!
Samuel!
Sir!
Dost thou see the pattern?
Aye! The Lord hath opened my eyes and mine!
I see no pattern. But I am eager to return a nasty blow to this rogue.
Pattern smattern! I shall press thee all to Pilgrim Burger and fry thee for supper.
Gaius!
Doing battle, sir.
Stupid old Greatheart! He's doing nothing but lifting his hands into the sky.
There is thy mistake, defeated foe. Ha! For he doth more than all of us. Ha! Ready?
Ready.
Ready?
Get him out.
Ready? Ready for what?
From the left! Ha!
Ready! Ha! Ready! For what?
Here ready comes the opening. One.
What opening?
How? Two.
All right. All right.
Three. Now!
Then did the warrior let fly at the giant's head and sides with such speed and fury as to part his weapon from his hand.
No!
Then did Greatheart smite him and slay him.
No!
And take off his head as he had promised.
Well done, lads. And you especially, Gaius.
Oh, help me!
Joseph, I hear moanings up in the den. You boys go up, release the prisoners.
Yes, sir.
If there be any pilgrims among them, bring them to the inn. I shall meet you there.
Yes, sir.
Ah, great victory hath been won this day.
Aye, Slaygood is a stubborn one.
Well fought.
Thank you. But I assure you that it was your prayers that made the difference.
Perhaps. But I cannot help but believe that the boys we left behind were fighting with us as well.
Aye.
When they were come home, they showed his head to the family, and then set it up on a pillar as they had done others before, for a terror to those that should attempt to do as he. Then they brought in Mr. Feeblemind to Gaius, who said to him,
Come, sir, be of good cheer. You are welcome to me and to my house. Call for what you will, and it shall be given thee.
This is an unexpected favor. 'Tis like the sun shining out of a blackish cloud. Did Giant Slaygood intend me this blessing when he stopped me and said I should go no farther? Did he intend that after stealing my coins, he should open the door to such a place as this? Nay, I doubt it. But God hath made all things to work together for good. Amen.
Then they had Mr. Feeblemind into the house of Gaius and gave him the upper room with the finest view. That night, around supper, they asked him of himself thus.
Mr. Feeblemind, whence art thou?
From the town of Uncertainty.
And why didst thou start out on pilgrimage?
Well, as you can see, I'm a sickly man. And because death did usually once or twice a day knock at my door, I grew afraid. I knew that one day I would not be able to keep him out. Therefore have I come on pilgrimage, for I hope, by God's grace, to come to a better land. A land where I shall have a glorified body that shall never know pain.
But did you not hear tell that the pilgrim's way is sometimes hard and filled with dangers?
Aye, but I thought to myself, Feeble, better to die in the pilgrim's way, even if you have to crawl every step, than to die in uncertainty. And so I set out.
And did the Slough of Despond detain thee?
Nay, for I saw one Mr. Fearing carried across, and I followed hot in the footsteps of him that bore him. Yea, he took my hand and helped me up to the wicket gate.
And how did they greet thee there?
Oh, graciously, very graciously. The lord of that place seemed not to notice my weakness of body or mind, but entertained me freely. When I had gained some little strength there, he gave me my certificate and told me if I was faithful unto death, I would surely reach the city.
Did you enjoy the house of the interpreter?
Oh, yes. He was most gracious.
And did you understand his parables and lessons?
Parables? I know not.
But he was kind to you.
Oh, very kind. Good food and pleasant conversation. Albeit, I could not understand very much of it.
What about the hill difficulty?
Well, the interpreter looked upon my weakness with great mercy and bade one of his servants carry me to the top.
Indeed?
Yay.
I have heard it said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross.
I'm sorry, sir, but I do not catch your meaning.
I mean that no matter what our state of mind or body or character, God will see to it that we shall find him. For the strong, there are trials and challenges to put every nerve to the stretch. For the weak, there is help enough to guarantee victory. All who will may enter in.
And so is my resolve. I have determined that when the road is easy, I shall run. When I cannot run, I shall walk. When I cannot walk, I shall creep.
Well done.
'Tis a gift from my Lord, and I thank him. By his grace, my course is fixed. My heart is beyond the river that has no bridge.
though I am but of a feeble mind.
How have other pilgrims done by thee, dear Mr. Feeble?
They have been most kind. They have shared food and drink and kind words. Yea, although none of them was slow to my pace, yet did they do their best to speed me up to theirs, and so were of much help to me.
Tell us about the giant.
Well, when I came to a salt lane, he leaped out at me and bade me make ready for a battle. A battle, thought I. Dear me, I am more in need of a tonic than ready for a battle. When he saw me looking confused and fearful, he lowered his club and captured me.
And did you, at that time, prepare thyself to die?
Nay.
And why not?
Because I knew that I should live.
And how could you know that?
Why, because I was carried off against my will.
So?
Well, I have heard that if a pilgrim keeps his heart in God's hands and is then taken captive against his will, he will not be allowed to die by the hand of the enemy. Am I not correct, Mr. Gaius?
The scripture does say that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
And does not falling into the hands of a giant come under the same rules as falling into the hands of sin, if we fell not willingly?
Aye.
Therefore it was that I knew myself to be free.
Even when he was warming the pot to cook thee in?
Aye, although I did break down and ask for mercy, which one must never expect from a demon, I did expect to be robbed, and robbed I am. But as you see, I escaped with my life. And I thank God for commanding it thus. And I thank you as his instruments. God bless thee all.
Tell us more about your friendship with this Mr. Fearing.
We were well acquainted even before we met at the slough. He is my uncle, actually.
Indeed.
Yes, my father's brother. We were both of nearly the same mind, or lack thereof, as the case may be.
Yes, you both have a pale countenance, and you both seem to look down more than up, and your speech is nearly of the same accent.
'Tis true, no doubt. Others have said the same. Besides, what I have seen in him, I have for the most part found in myself. We are both sorry specimens of humanity, but I warrant you this. When we come to the celestial city, we shall both of us sing the king's praises as loud as the rest of you.
Aye, thou art as I am, a witness to the fact that there is none too far gone for Christ to take home to himself.
Amen.
Now, just as they were ending this talk, there came one running in who said,
Excuse me, everybody, please. About a mile and a half off, there's a pilgrim named Mr. Notright. He's been struck dead by a thunderbolt.
What? Struck by lightning in these parts? How odd.
Alas, is he indeed slain? Oh, me.
Do you know the man?
Aye. He overtook me several days ago and decided to keep company with me. Yea, he was with me when Slaygood took me, but he was nimble of his heels and escaped. But how odd it is.
What is, Mr. Feeble?
That he escaped to die and I was captured to live. Mysterious to me are the ways of this way. Mysterious indeed.
Now there came at last the time when all of the pilgrims began to feel an itching in their feet to be on their way. So Mr. Gaius made them a great feast, where they all did eat, drink, and make merry. Aye, their songs and praises did give the lie to the rumor that the pilgrim's way is full of sorrow and heaviness. Now, when the hour was come that they must be gone, Mr. Greatheart called for the bill.
Well, dear Gaius, time to settle accounts. How much do we owe thee?
Greatheart, thou knowest that at this house we accept no pay.
Still?
Aye.
But how canst thou sustain such great expenses as you have put out on our behalf?
The good Samaritan hath bidden me to care for thee. He said he hath given me coin enough to pay for thee. Moreover, he hath promised to repay anything that I have overspent.
Bless him. And bless you, you have strengthened us mightily and put us forward on our way, much refreshed. Thou shalt in no wise lose thy reward. Fare thee well.
And the same to thee. Farewell.
Goodbye, dear Gaius.
Ah, Christiana, a true mother in Israel, may you soon look thy husband in the face.
Goodbye, dear Gaius.
And to thee, dear Mercy, I give thanks that during thy stay here, thou hast not ceased to provide food and blankets for the poor among us. Blessed art thou among women.
Thank you.
I expect to hear reports of many children.
As many as God shall send.
Ah, Phoebe, my daughter, how I shall miss thee.
And I thee, Father.
Stay close to thy new mother, and learn of she and Mercy how to serve.
Yes, Father. Goodbye.
Take care of her for me, James. She is a rare jewel.
Aye, that I could see from the first moment. And care for her I shall, for she is everything to me.
Matthew, Samuel, Joseph, Mr. Honest, Mr. Greatheart, and especially to you, Mr. Feeble Mind. Godspeed, Godspeed, farewell.